close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grimly ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig.
As always, we do ask that you please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And please go ahead and pull down those safety bars. We will not be doing that for you. That's right, Derek. I said let safety bars, not safety dars,
good.
As I lap incorrectly bar. Stated on the last episode. Well, it's been a wild ride up to this point. We are now at episode 4, Carousel of Process, Welcome Home. For those of you that don't know, whenever you enter a Walt Disney World hotel for the first time, you are greeted by their always friendly cast members with those words, Welcome Home, and it is your home for that period of time. I remember the very first time my wife and I went in 2012, we stayed at the Wilderness Lodge. We walked in those doors into that huge, beautiful lobby, and those were the first words we heard from the cast members, welcome home, and you felt like you were home. And we're going to get into the magic of a Walt Disney World hotel, but Craig, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. Just excited about another podcast. This is one of the subjects I look forward to because there's so many choices, and you can go wrong depending on what you're looking for. Or it can be the most magical experience you want to, and that's why we're here. We're hoping to keep you from making a miserable experience.
So you're saying it can go wrong, but it can be so right?
Correct.
You know, a lot of people tweeted in about last week's episode about travel, very upset that we didn't discuss diesel fuel and the cost of that.
Were they? Are many of them taking school buses?
I did not see that tweet. Did you?
I did not.
Okay, Matthew's got his own account.
Well, maybe I'm just
I think that was your private
making
account.
Things up. Yeah.
Lapdard.
But we, last week we talked a lot about the ins and outs of travel, and perhaps it wasn't the most exciting episode. But again, we're this podcast exists to try to provide some practical advice for you and your family as you start the planning stages of your Disney World vacation. And even if you've been a few times before, you know, we've been several times, the three of us have, with our families, and we're still learning new things and trying new things in terms of travel. But as Craig said, there's so many exciting things that come with choosing a Walt Disney World hotel, what will be your home for 2 to 3 to 7 days, whatever it may be. Derek, how are you feeling good about this topic?
I do. I love staying at different places, and we've done several split stays, which is where you move resorts during your trip. So I've done several of those and always enjoyed the newness of a new resort. So,
you know, we had some discussion about should you drive to Orlando, should you fly. Most of the three of us genuinely agree as far as you need to stay in a Walt Disney World hotel if you're going to go to Walt Disney World. Not to say that staying off-site is a bad thing or a bad move. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But just in terms of the theming and the being encapsulated by the Disney World experience, Walt Disney World hotels are second to none. Before we start talking about the different types of Disney hotels and where you should consider staying, because, again, we're focusing on the budget, we're focusing on cost. Craig, tell us a little bit about the only one of us in recent years that has stayed off-site when going to Walt Disney World. So tell us a little bit about that experience, and then we'll kind of go through some of the pros and cons of staying off-site, and then we'll kind of do the same thing for staying on-site.
Okay. First time we went, again, not real familiar with what we were doing, followed tour guide Mike, some other things to kind of get an idea, but we are a member of a timeshare, so we thought we could save some money and stay off-site. We were just right outside the gates, probably a mile, right there in the middle of downtown, close to some grocery stores, things like that, where we could get in and out real easy. The place we stayed in was unbelievable. It had a lazy river around it. It had everything you can think of on site to do. We thought this is fantastic. We paid $135 for the week, not for per day. It was for the week because of our timeshare. we thought it was a gold mine. It was a beautiful, I mean, it was two-bedroom, living room, kitchen, everything. But we didn't understand what Disney was. We were hardly ever at the resort. We were always at Disney, and then we had to drive a mile to get there. So it made a difference there. Like I said, $135, though, versus however many days you're staying. I mean, $135 is a cheap Disney hotel.
That's a fantastic deal.
So that price right there made it very reasonable and very worthwhile.
I mean, you're lucky and fortunate to find a Disney hotel for $135 or less for one night.
Right.
Let alone an entire week. And you're certainly not going to find one with two bedrooms and a living area for that cost.
Well, and we stayed, by staying off site, of course, we drove back and forth, so it was $20 a day.
Right.
Now, once you pay that $20, you can go in and out as many times as you want to on that day, but you still have to pay that for your vehicle going in and out. And we really enjoyed it because we didn't really know any better, but I say this now, and maybe I'm jumping ahead of where we want to talk at this point, but you just can't replace being on site.
Again, obviously one pro of staying off site is clearly the cost, and for some that's what it comes down to. You know, you may want to splurge and, you know, stay several days in the park, and you may want to go from Universal to Disney World and other places there in Orlando. And so the off-site approach may be best for you. But like as you said, Craig, there's just something about staying in a Walt Disney World hotel. So any other pros for staying off-site, Derek, Craig, other than cost and convenience maybe of having a larger living area?
Well, and I think it goes back to our last episode, transportation. I mean, when you have your own vehicle, you can get around easier, quicker, and get to where you want to go rather than waiting on somebody else to drive you around. So that is an advantage because you do have your own vehicle. Of course, you could always, you know, fly in, rent a car, that type thing, too, for staying off site. Again, it depends on if you're a first-timer going to Disney. The off-site thing may not be the best thing because you want to experience everything about Disney. If it's your 5th, 6th, 7th, 10th time, you may be okay staying off-site because you've already experienced that. But at the same time, you go back and rest more. You do jump around to Universal or SeaWorld, those type of things. So there's it depends on, again, like we keep saying for every episode, on what your plans are with your family.
And whether or not you're using diesel fuel.
No, that never happened. I'm not sure.
I never saw that tweet.
Derek, any thoughts on staying off-site? Would you do it?
I would do it if I stayed in the Disney Springs area. Because I talked about it with Rachel, and if I stayed in that area, I could take a bus to Disney Springs from another resort and just walk back to my hotel from there. So
right.
If I Ubered in the morning to a park.
You could just stay at Disney Springs every day.
You could, because they're open till like 2
that'd
in the morning.
That'd be wonderful.
I'm
not a fan of Disney Springs.
I said this earlier, but it just hit me again. A lot of these resorts, too, have their own transportation to the parks.
They do, the shuttles.
And, yeah. I mean, I was saying use your own car, but they've got transportation, mm-hmm. shuttles to get you back and forth. And there are a ton of resorts outside Disney Park. They're there to get your business as much as Disney is. So there's lots of options there.
But less magical.
Correct.
Which we're going to talk about some of the perks of staying on site. But I guess the major con of staying off site is you don't get those perks.
Ooh, we didn't say that.
So let's kind of dive in now to the Disney hotels. And we've done a little bit of research, and we want to go ahead and thank the folks at wdwinfo.com. A lot of information on their website, as you would guess, with a name like info. But we kind of crunched some numbers here, and we're going to kind of go, if you don't know, there are four categories of resorts at Disney World. You have value, you have moderate, you have deluxe, and then you have deluxe villas, which are run really DVC resorts, Disney Vacation Club.
Timeshares.
Let's start with the value resorts and kind of just briefly run through. Now we'll have a time in which we kind of dissect each one of these resorts and talk about our favorites and least favorites. But let's, Craig, tell us a little bit of, give us a brief rundown of the three, or the value resorts and the costs of each.
Okay, you have your all-star resorts, which are your sports, all-star sports, all-star movies, and all-star music. And then you have Pop Century, and then you have Art of Animation. And then you can also throw in there your campsites. where you can stay actually in a tent at Disney over at Fort Wilderness.
Or a camper.
Or a camper, yes. Or a cabin, but cabin's probably more of a
cabin
a
is moderate.
Mm-hmm. And we have a friend, Philip, who has actually driven his camper down there and enjoyed it from what I remember.
If you are a fan of camping, if you don't mind, and most people don't mind dragging their camper or however far you need to do that, it's a great, I mean, you're staying in your own bed.
And it's usually, what, $65 to $75 a night?
I think so.
It's a very affordable option.
Yep. Yeah, it runs anywhere from $60 to $130, but except for New Year's, it's $135. I don't know if you go on New Year's with your camper.
Oh, well. So there's so you've got the campsites. Tell us a little bit more of the cost. I think of the other three, would the All-Star Resorts probably be the cheapest?
Yes, your All-Stars would run. And of course, your sports is probably the most with the most kids as far as ball teams and things like that. My wife, when they won the state tournament, she was a coach for the state tournament here in Hickman County.
1997.
They actually went to Disney and stayed at All-Star Sports, and you're gonna see a lot of ball teams and things like that. They're probably the loudest one. Again, going to the difference of value to moderate to deluxe, your values are going to have thinner walls. They're not going to be deluxe. I mean, it's in the name. It's a value, but you're looking for price rather than punch. And the price-wise, you're going to get a lot of less perks in value. But a lot of times, and we'll discuss this with all of them, you're not in the room a whole lot.
Right.
So it depends on what you plan on doing that trip. So you're looking at All-Star Sports, roughly, if you just go peak season, is right around $200 a night, $150 a night, and you can always go. You can go all the way down to $113.
I can go ahead and offer this piece of advice: never stay in an All-Star resort if you're paying more than $150 a night. Just don't do it.
That's what I was about to say. All-Star movies, you're looking at $105 is a low one here. I see, all the way up to $170. Your All-Star music, about same prices. And then we get to Pop Century. Pop Century, I've stayed there several times. You guys have both stayed there several times. You're looking at $200 on a high on peak season, all the way down to about $130.
And we'll talk a little more about the theming of these resorts. But, you know, obviously Pop Century, you're looking at kind of the decades of past. An All-Star Sports, you're surrounded by sports. All the ones you've mentioned up to this point, I think with the exception of All-Star Movies, sleeps four.
Correct.
At a maximum. I think All-Star Movies does have some family suites, but that's where Art of Animation is a little bit different, is it
right?
Not?
And we've stayed at Art of Animation, and it was very, especially the suite was really, really nice, and we enjoyed that. Two bathrooms in the suites, two separate places, actually a room with a bed in it, and then a fold-out couch in another room, so it's kind of a good bang for your buck. But you're looking at Art Animation anywhere from kind of like Pop, start out in $140 and go all the way up to over $200, $215. But if you're looking at a suite, you're probably going all the way upwards of probably $400 to $500. Low end around, looks around $300. So here's the thing you got to remember about value, too. If it's value, most people are going to stay there, too.
Correct.
So your bigger numbers, your bigger crowds are there. So just be aware of that. When you're waiting on buses, when you're...
Food courts.
But they're made to handle large crowds. So the food courts, every time I've ever been there, it's never been backed up really bad.
I was just going to say, Art of Animation, I would probably put it as a value plus category due to the suites. I have a few suites in the All-Stars, but it's not like Art of Animation, where the majority of the resort are suites.
In Art of Animation, I've stayed there in a Little Mermaid room, which is a standard size room. It slept four, and it was fine, but it was kind of designed with larger families in mind, larger in terms of number, and they have some phenomenal theming, as you said. It's Derek. It's not necessarily value pricing, but it's there to give bigger families a more affordable option.
We may want to mention too, if you have a family of five or six, the value resorts are not an option unless you go to Art Animation.
Correct.
Or I mean, you're willing to book multiple rooms.
Or book multiple rooms, which go ahead and go to Art Animation or a moderate resort. But if you have five or six, that's not an option to go to the values.
But before we hop into the moderate resorts, I think we kind of got ahead of ourselves. Derek, What's one of the perks of staying in any Disney hotel, whether it's a value or a deluxe or anywhere in between?
Well, the biggest is transportation to the parks. There's no need to worry about, do I have gas in my car this morning? Because I can walk out to the bus stop and just hop on the bus to whichever park I want to go to. So I think for us, that's the biggest reason to stay on site, is the ease of navigating basically anywhere on property.
Craig, what's another one?
Saying on property, it's always going to be the perks of are we saying on property, period? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, staying in any Disney hotel.
You can get the Disney data plan. Is one
right
thing. If you're off site, and again, the first time we went, we could not do that, did not realize that. But if sometime when it's offered free, if you're staying off site, you can't get that. Even if you want that option, you have to stay on site. The second thing is extra magic hours, before and after, which a lot of your planning sites don't promote that because they say that's where the crowds are. But I'm a big fan of especially the night ones.
Right.
Because by night, a lot of the younger kids have already gone back and gone to bed. And it's a different experience. So you want to take advantage of those extra magic hours. Again, staying off site, you can't get that.
And the extra magic hours is essentially, if you're staying in a Disney hotel, you get 1 to 2 hours extra in a park. There's usually at least one every day that Disney is open throughout the week. And that fluctuates. Sometimes they're in the morning before the park opens to the public. Sometimes they're at night. After the park closes.
Every day there's one
right
resort. No, excuse me, one park
at least
that
one.
Has
so,
extra magic hours.
You know, you've got the, as Derek mentioned, you get to use their bus service. Craig mentioned you get access to the dining plan. There's extra magic hours. You also get to make fast pass reservations up to 60 days prior to your trip, which if you stay off site, that's only 30 days, which pretty much takes you out of the running for Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom, Frozen Ever After.
60 days takes you out.
60 days, yes, 79 days takes you out for Flight of Passage. But, you know, that's definitely a perk for me, is I'm a planner, and I want to have early access to book those fast passes. And then just staying in the Disney bubble. We've all kind of alluded to it. Walking in those doors and hearing welcome home, and you do feel as if you're transported to another world. Which is something you can't find with off-site hotels.
And always keep in mind, wherever you are on Disney, whether it be the resort or the park, if something is not to your liking, not to be a complainer, but if something is not the way it should be, tell somebody. They'll do their best to fix it. The resorts are known for that. If something's not right in your room, if you need something adjusted, they will be on that. I think our air one time was kind of fluctuating, wasn't working real well, and within a few minutes, someone was there taking it apart, fixing it. So whatever the problem is, they'll get right on that and let them know that. That's another perk of being on Disney, because they want everything to be magical.
Craig, what value resorts have you stayed in?
I've stayed at the Pop, and we've stayed at Art Animation, and Misty, like I said, stayed at All Star Sports.
Which was your favorite?
Of those, probably Art Animation. The suite was just, again, you're looking at a more expensive stay. But it was almost perfect because you had the separate rooms, two bathrooms, you get ready a whole lot quicker. And your proximity is at the same. Most of your value sport resorts are right there together.
Yeah, that's so, something else we'll get to is the more you pay, typically, the closer you are to theme parks. Derek's, you've stayed at Pop. I know our families have stayed together at Pop.
Pop and Art and in Little Mermaid's room. And I think that's the only two value that we've stayed in, and I would recommend Art of Animation just for theming, and their pools are really good, and of course a good food court. So
yes,
that's something that there's
and
lots of pools at some of them.
And those Pop and Art, I don't know if we mentioned it a while ago, but they are connected. Mm-hmm. You can walk from one to the other,
right.
And it's not a big hassle. So really, you're getting two for one.
And Art of Animation, they have the one pool that plays music underwater, which I don't know how long you're going to hold your breath, but if you're one of those that can do so for a long time, you can get a lot of joy out of that. I've stayed at Art of Animation. I stayed at Pop Century, All Star Sports. I can tell you that my not favorite resort is All Star Sports. Not that, again, when we went there, we were just using it to sleep. As you said, Craig, a lot of times you're not in the room a lot. But for me, I think it is worth paying a little more to stay at a Pop Century or even an Art of Animation. And Art of Animation is the newest Disney resort in the value section, and so it's naturally going to have a lot of things that the other ones don't. A lot of things at the All-Star Resorts just feel outdated, and all three of them share a bus. Just of my personal opinion, Spring for the Pop, Century Room, or Art of Animation. Craig is our researcher, and so Craig is now going to tell us about the moderate level resorts.
Your moderate resorts, you are looking at Caribbean Beach Resort, Coronado Springs Resort, Port Orleans French Quarter, Port Orleans Riverside, Fort Wilderness Campground, and Fort Wilderness Cabins. Those are going to be mentioned in all of them probably because there's options and all those that make them doable for whatever your price range is. Caribbean Beach, you're looking at $187 to almost $300. Again, I should have said earlier, everything we're talking about is standard. You can move all the way up to, for instance, at Caribbean Beach, you've got standard, water pool view, king bed, and preferred rooms. So you're looking at standard going from $187 to a preferred room of $259. So you can look at some changes there. Then you can just keep going. Oh, they also have pirate theme rooms. And again, there's so many options, but we're just giving you the basic standard rate of each one of these. Coronado Springs, you're looking at $190. To $360
per night, correct?
Per night. You're looking. Let me see, and they've got all kinds of options as well. Again, we want to thank WDWinfo.com for a lot of help here in looking at these things. You can go and look at that as well. Port Orleans Riverside, you're going from $213 to $360. We look at Port Orleans French Quarter. Once you guys mention real quick, because I've stayed there with you guys at one of them, was it
Riverside?
Explain the differences there in the Port Orleans.
Derek, you stayed at both of them.
I have.
Riverside and French Quarter.
Yeah, the French Quarter is more downtown Nolens.
Nolens.
So
they do have the beignets.
They do. Excellent beignets. And it's probably the smallest resort complex on property. I think there's only like 1,000 rooms or something. So it's pretty small. Everything's within a... And I'm just going to say, this is... I shouldn't say it's probably number two on my list for as far as my rankings.
Overall. That's
not well, in moderate.
Oh, okay.
It's my number two resort for moderates, but... It's a lot smaller. You're within 5 minutes, no matter if you're in the furthest room from the main building. And Riverside is just huge. It's one of the largest. But again, it has, I believe it has 4 bus stops, and it's more in a bayou setting. Lots of Spanish moss and decor and just a... Old South kind of feel to it.
That's probably a good point I didn't make earlier, is a lot of your value resorts just have one stop.
And that, one bus stop.
One bus stop, and there's lots of people out there waiting on those things. There's some dedicated bus service to Pop Century, but when you go to your moderate, most of them within the complex, there's 3 or 4 or 5 stops. Not a lot of people on each one of those stops, but there are several stops instead of... It depends on what part you're staying in within that resort, where you'll be picked up, and if you'll be the last one going to the park or the first one, and then we'll have to one of the other stops.
I've stayed at Caribbean Beach and Port Orleans Riverside. I want to get to French Quarter, hear a lot of good things about French Quarter, as Derek said. Personally, for me, my favorite moderate is Caribbean Beach. It's kind of, if you look at a lot of blogs or listen to a lot of rankings, they kind of rank Caribbean Beach last for the moderates, but it's something that me, my family and I, we've always enjoyed staying there. We've stayed there three different times, I think, and it is a very large resort. Usually where we stay, we're a 10-minute walk just to get to the food court, which is not super convenient, but, for us, it's a very relaxing resort because it's so spread out, and it is, you have different secluded areas. You have your own kind of like private pools in certain areas of the resort. They have a wonderful theme pool, especially for children. Good food court. But again, it has 7 bus stops, which is a lot of bus stops and a lot of time spent on the bus. So it's not the perfect place. But again, it's usually the most affordable moderate resort. I think one time we stayed there, for a week, and because of a discount they had going, it was $155 a night, which is just a little bit more than a value.
But they even have an internal bus to take you to the front desk.
Right.
I mean, that's how big resort
is. Yeah, the whole check-in process at Caribbean Beach is a joke. But we don't focus on that.
Something needs to be said, too, is if you've never been to a Disney resort, it will blow you away at the detail. I've been to the Turks and Caicos Islands, and I've stayed at the Caribbean Beach. One time our family went with Matthew's family, and Derek was there, too. And it'll blow you away because you feel like you're in the Caribbean. I mean,
exactly.
It's just amazing how well they theme everything.
And that could be said for French Quarter. That could be said for Riverside. Any of these resorts, just about all of them that we're talking about, you are in a different place. It's more, I would say, more themed than a lot of their theme park areas.
And that's why we're talking about staying on site, because you don't get that off site.
Correct.
I mean, the Pop Century. I mean, you go back in the past. The Art Animation, you get to live and see what the Disney Imagineers have done. I mean, it's just, you just have to experience that. And that's why all three of us, we're trying to stay at all the different resorts, because it's just a different experience.
It's in the name of research.
That's right. Correct. That's why we tell our wives, for sure.
Yes.
I think on the, going back to the kind of the differences between the resorts levels, is that to me, the value ones show everything is larger than life. They've got the huge props and huge games over at Pop with the foosball setup and the huge big wheel. And then you step up into moderate, and it gets more into, it's more intimate with the details they give you, and they try to be more exacting to the locales that they're trying to represent. And so that costs more money, I guess, than...
Now, let's be clear, when you say more intimate, the employees are not wearing lingerie, correct?
Where are you staying again?
I don't know. Where's that diesel question again?
I don't remember that one either.
But and then when you get into the deluxes, you're paying more or less for proximity.
Correct.
That's a great segue into the deluxes.
So...
And before we head on into the deluxe, just a quick aside. I think, and Derek, I think you mentioned this back in episode 2. You know, they're always running discounts and specials. Well, I say always. A lot of times they're running hotel discounts. One piece of advice, little nugget here. You know, if you can help it, don't pay full rack rate a lot of times for these hotel rooms, because, and again, not every resort is going to be going to have a discount. For example, a lot of times French Quarter is one of those that just doesn't have a lot of discounts.
And that's due to size.
Right. There's not as many rooms, whereas Caribbean Beach, which has 17,000 rooms, it feels like, mm-hmm. has a lot of resorts, or excuse me, a lot of discounts. So be on the lookout for that.
And right now it has construction.
Right. Caribbean Beach is changing, as is Coronado Springs.
And the moderates as a whole anyway are down a lot of rooms right now, so they're typically selling out really fast at this time, just because two resorts are undergoing major renovations. So
I did
right
want,
now
yeah.
It's not a good time to be looking for moderates. It's kind of tough.
Yeah, we just want to throw that out there. Always be looking for discounts, and that's something that we'll try to share, too, on our social media avenues. Craig, so we've covered value, moderate. Tell us a little bit about the deluxe, which is...
What other moderates did we stay at? Did we say all the moderates?
Oh, what moderates have you stayed at, Derek?
I've stayed at Riverside and French Quarter and Caribbean Beach and Coronado.
Derek has batted for the cycle. Well, did we mention the cabins? None of us have stayed at the cabins.
We didn't mention that, did we? I was thinking we mentioned the value, but we have not, because it is actually a moderate. So pulling up the cabins, $350. All the way, I mean, you can go up to $500.
The one I usually see on there is around $400.
Yeah, I mean, that's the average on here, looks like.
And we know families that have stayed at the cabins, and the cabins have a lot of pros and cons, which we can get into at a later date.
Lots of family members can be there. Again, just stressing that all the prices depend on, one, what are you looking for? Number two, what time of year are you going?
Correct.
So that's another thing. If you're
realized I've said correct like 7 times.
That's because we're correct. If you go New Year's, if you go Christmas,
Diesel.
If you go the popular times, it's going to be more expensive because they're going to try to discourage you from coming then. So they're going to run the price up a little bit.
Greg, we love deluxe resorts.
Oh, man.
But
and that's the biggest group, but they're not the biggest resorts.
But after you hear the prices, it's you may see why we don't stay there too often.
All right. We'll start off. We'll just run over
Greg's
that
just shaking his head.
My stomach is hurting now. Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, Disney's Beach Club Resort, Disney's Boardwalk Inn Resort. You got the Contemporary Resort, Grand Floridian, Polynesian Village, Wilderness Lodge, and the Yacht Club. So Animal Kingdom, are you ready? We're starting probably about $359 all the way up to $850.
I think Animal Kingdom Lodge, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Wilderness Lodge are probably on the lower end. So those are probably your two cheapest deluxe resorts. Yeah.
Of course, Animal Kingdom Lodge does have their own zoo out back.
Correct.
Too. I mean, there's benefits to each one, and we'll cover that on another episode. But Disney's Beach Club Resort, you're going from, again, $420 all the way up to $1,000. Again, that's a Garden View Club level, but your basics are probably $420. And your basics can run up to all the way up to $550. Next, we're looking at Boardwalk. You're going from $450 up to $1,100. Or basically an average probably around $500, it jumps all around. So $700, $800, so I'm seeing all over the board there. Contemporary Resort. Contemporary Resort, you're going from $425 to $700, per night. And once you start going into your garden wing and where you're actually looking over to
right.
Magic Kingdom and then your Bay Lake. I mean, you're looking at Bay Lake. You're starting out at $1,200, and you're going up to $4,000, depending on where you want to stay. All right, Grand Floridian, which is kind of like an Opryland Hotel type, where it's really the plush.
It's very elegant.
Takes you back to you're going from $650 a night up to over $1,000. Polynesian Village. Mm-hmm. You're going from $500 a night up to $1,000. We forgot Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness Lodge. The Polynesian, Grand Floridian, Contemporary, they're all on the monorail, which mm-hmm. means that you can get on the monorail and go to Magic Kingdom. That instantly increases the price of those. One thing we didn't mention that kind of falls under the deluxe, but really they're more of the villas, is the Saratoga Springs and Old Key West resorts.
Are they DVC?
I believe so, but a lot of times cheaper than the deluxe
right.
rooms
at,
on Disney
at deluxe
website.
Levels, yeah.
And then you also have the Swan and Dolphin,
which are Disney, but they're not.
Right. You have the Wilderness Lodge, which was from $300 up until $1,100. $1,100 means you can sleep six people in that one, so that's why it's a little more pricey. But again, lower end of your deluxes. And then also the Yacht Club. Yacht Club, you're looking at $450 to $1,000. But those are the lower ends where you can look at that and think, well, we can afford $400 a night. So you're looking at a standard room, not a lot of perks, but you're in a deluxe.
And a lot of times, the cheapest you'll usually see a deluxe room for on the Disney website is around $350 if they're running the discounts. And a lot of times when, I remember the first time that we went, we stayed at the Wilderness Lodge because they were running a 30% discount. And we're thinking, okay, this is the only time we're going to go until forever, pretty much. And so your biggest discounts are going to be on the deluxe resorts. But, again, the rack rates there are so high. About the lowest you're going to see now is $330 to $350 a night.
But your perks for staying in the deluxe or what?
Or what, Derek?
Like you said, proximity to parks with them being on the monorail so you can go get to the Magic Kingdom really easily. And then Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk, they're all in the Epcot area, so you can walk to Epcot.
Or Hollywood minutes, Studios.
20-minute walk to Hollywood Studios, 10-minute walk to Epcot.
Also take boats.
Right.
Right, and then the other two were Wilderness and Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
And they're more for the accommodations than proximity.
Right.
You can take a boat at Wilderness to Magic Kingdom, but it's a boat that's slow and doesn't hold a lot of people, so that's why they're on the lower end of the deluxe scale, and Animal Kingdom is just it's got to be nice. I've been in it, and it looks nice, but it's real far away from anything except Animal Kingdom, and you can't get directly to Animal Kingdom from there. So,
I mean, location is probably the number one perk. That's ultimately what you're paying for. You know, the three of us stayed at a Bay Lake Tower studio villa, and at the end of the night, we're walking back to our hotel room for Magic Kingdom, and seeing the thousands upon thousands waiting in the bus stop to go to an All-Star or a Pop Century. You know, in that moment, you're thinking, okay, this was worth paying a little bit extra. Now, in some cases, you're talking a lot extra, but the location, the dining at the hotels, you're going to be surrounded by very good cuisine.
A lot of your upper tier dining that you're going to do on a dining plan, or if you're just going to do something nice, are at those nice resorts. They're not the value resorts. Mm-hmm.
Like you said, at the Grand Floridian, they've got, is it two or three?
Narcoossi's, Citrico's, 1900 Park Fair, Grand Floridian Cafe, and then Victoria and Albert's. That's at least five.
And that's all.
Just five sit-down restaurants in one hotel.
And the theming
at these hotels, the pools, you can't say enough good things about the deluxe resorts, and you better be able to say a lot of good things because for what you're paying.
Grand Floridian also has the spa there, too.
Yes, the spa.
Yes.
That's not included in your price.
It is not.
So that's a break. Craig, what deluxe resorts have you stayed at?
Just the Bay Lake Towers with you guys. But I've been, of course, to the Polynesian to eat and see it. Been to the Grand Floridian for different things. I think I've been in every deluxe resort, just have not stayed there because of a thing called money.
So, I mean, why does that have to
apply?
I'm
waiting for that free discount to come my way, but I haven't seen that.
And that's the thing, too, is the deluxe resorts are attractions unto themselves.
They are.
You know, you can go and spend an hour or two looking around the deluxe resorts and still not see everything, especially at Christmas time. The three of us did that before. Mm-hmm. Derek, deluxe resorts.
I stayed at Wilderness and Bay Lake and Polynesian. I think that's it.
I've stayed at Wilderness Lodge, Bay Lake Tower with the two of you, which is at the Contemporary, and then the Beach Club Resort. That was a birthday present. And we'll get into a lot of these details as far as the different resorts. But is there anything else, guys, that we haven't? Again, we tried to provide some numbers for you, staying off-site, staying on-site. And, again, if you're going to go to all this effort of planning a Walt Disney World vacation, I think all of us here suggest spending a little bit more money to stay in one of those Disney World hotels.
So we're going from roughly $105 all the way up to several thousand dollars. But again, it's just like traveling to there. How much am I going to spend? How much is on my budget? How many days am I going? Because that's a huge factor.
And if you tell yourself, I like the sound of one of these deluxes, or I like the sound of a moderate, maybe say, okay, well, we'll just drive. And we'll make the one-day trip. We won't stay in a hotel on the way down or on the way back, and apply that money toward staying in a deluxe resort.
Sure, sure. And there's just a lot of ways that you can do it. And for me personally, I like to stay in the moderates. It's good theming. A lot of them have decent restaurants, and it works for my budget. Is the biggest thing. So probably my number one hotel that I've stayed in on property so far is Coronado Springs.
Wow.
And it's
high praise.
Strictly only because of its proximity to all the parks. It was never more than a 10 or 15 minute bus ride to any park. So I knew at night I wasn't going to be stuck on a bus for 30 minutes from any park that I was coming back from. So that's the biggest thing to me. All the beds are, I'm going to sleep there, and I'm not going to sleep good in any of them, right. Really. So,
well, it's also a convention resort, so it depends on when you're there how crowded it is at Coronado Springs. Something you mentioned, and I was about to say it, about beds. My wife, her back sometimes goes out, and we've stayed at Pop Century, and she's never complained about her back there. So I think it depends on the bedding is across the board pretty much the same until you get to deluxe. I think deluxe do go above and beyond. And probably moderate's a little bit better, but it's not noticeable at the values that you're like sleeping on a brick. I mean, it's still Disney.
And bed size.
Right.
At the values, they're going to be full beds. you go to moderates, they're going to be queen beds.
And room size.
Mm-hmm. Slightly bigger. I'd say maybe 20 more square feet in a moderate versus a value. It's not a whole lot, but it is noticeable.
And if you're going with another family, you can always get adjoining rooms. Mm-hmm. There's, again, traveling groups, let Disney know that. They'll do their best to try to accommodate those things. Can't guarantee it. Also, if you prefer a certain view or prefer a certain look, that's optional, right, Matthew?
Yes, and speaking of the comfort of the beds, when we stayed in that we stayed in that studio villa at Bay Lake Tower, I was sleeping on the pull-out couch. That pull-out couch was more comfortable than 95% of the beds I've stayed
it's
at
Disney.
On
like
Disney
said,
property.
It's Disney.
So speaking of room requests, are you ready for this, guys? We have our first listener question.
Oh, great.
And we are ready to share this on air. This comes from Clint right here in our hometown. And Clint asks, he has some questions about the early check-in process. And he asks, if you want to do early check-in, how do you go about requesting a room, specifically a room near a bus stop? Clint, we thank you for listening to our podcast and hope that your family is doing well. Derek, tell us a little bit about early check-in, how soon that can start, and what that does.
I believe, I'm not sure exactly how long. Is it 30 days? Is it 60 days? Thank you, Matthew.
60.
60 days. I've never checked in that early, but I do know that you just check in on your My Disney Experience account, and it should be an option selection. I believe it gives options like first floor, second floor, close to parking, close to transportation,
pool view, woods view, that sort of thing.
And so that should be an option in that checkbox that you can check it. And if I believe they set priorities to that too, like if it says pick two, it should give the same options twice. I'm not sure if it
and a lot
it
of
used
times
to do that.
It'll ask you, is early check-in kind of trump all these things? Because there's been times where, one time we went and we were waiting and waiting and waiting around in the lobby to see if our room was ready, and they were waiting for a certain floor to open up. We said, well, that's okay. We'll just take the early check-in. So if getting in your room early is more important, you can also check that. Now, Craig, you've had experience requesting specific rooms in the past, mm-hmm. I believe, at Pop Century. How did you go about doing that?
A lot of times... I like to talk to people. That's just, I guess, old-fashioned that way. The app is great.
What century are you living in, Craig?
But I send smoke signals. No, I enjoy like talking to somebody and saying, hey, here's what I really like. I think you can make up to 3 requests, if I'm not mistaken, and you can they'll put that on your account. And call her once in a while, just check on things. And even when you arrive, this last time we went, I went to the concierge because our rooms weren't we had picked preferred, but we were way away. Well, the guy draws me a box and shows me we're on the edge of the box, which shows preferred. But he tried his best to move us where we wanted to be.
You didn't prefer it.
I preferred it. if it's something that you really want and it's something that's going to make your trip better, they're going to work with you. And like I said, I'm not just saying that. The concierge did everything he could to move us where we wanted to be if those rooms were available. Again, lower floor, top floor. People have their preferences. I like to stay on the bottom floor. Get in and get out quick. At Pop Century, there's some top floor places you can stay in. You can see fireworks better. So it's all on what you request. If you need certain accommodations in that room for handicap or so on and so forth, they're going to help you out and take care of those. They'll do their best to put you where, especially if you're preferred.
And as always, they don't guarantee your request will be fulfilled, but they, as you said, they do their utmost best to make that possible.
And more specifically to Clint's question, how to get it closer to bus stops. Typically, all I do is click to be close to parking, and generally the parking lots are closer to the bus stops. So I know that's all I've done at like Riverside, and we'll be within a 5-minute walk of one of the bus stops.
And your preferred, if you choose preferred, it's supposed to be close to the swim pools, close to laundry, and close to the bus stops.
So
that's what I'm saying. It'll be one of those, which is usually if it's one of them, it'll cover another one too.
It could.
Because usually, like especially the values, your laundry is right next to the pool. So a lot of those will be covered altogether. And that's the other thing we hadn't mentioned. All of them have laundry.
Yes.
So that helps you in your packing and going.
And you can even go online and research kind of look at the map of the resort, and you can even figure out, okay, I need to request room 2800 to 2900. Kind of see where the room numbers are and call in and make a specific room number request if you so choose to do so. Guys, we've been talking a long time.
There's a lot on, and we're not even done. I mean, we can go more, break it down, but I think we've said enough and probably wore out whoever's listening to this whole thing.
Yes, and we thank you for sticking with us as
sure.
long. But hopefully you've been able to see there is a wide variety of hotel options at Walt Disney World for every budget, for every taste. Go to the Disney World website, peruse some of those rooms, look at the pictures, look at the prices, see what fits best for your family. Craig, Derek, any final thoughts on where to stay?
Just decide early and get it paid for.
If you have questions, do feel free to you know, email us, say something on Twitter, say something on Facebook.
GrimGrinningGuys@gmail.com, GrimGrinningGuys on Facebook, @GrimGrinningGuys on Twitter. So at this point, we have started the planning process. We have figured out how we're getting there via plane or automobile. We have considered where we're going to stay, and who knows where we'll pick up next week, most likely with ticket options, ticket pricing, things of that nature. So,
A short show,
yes.
It's Derek's
turn. And Derek, it is your turn to choose the Grim Grinning Greatness segment. This is where one of us chooses a favorite something, and the other ones are not prepared at all to answer. So, Derek, what is the question this week?
Thinking, what did you talk about? What was the first question?
The first one a couple weeks ago was favorite ride at Epcot. Last week, Craig asked,
Snacks,
what's your favorite
anywhere.
Snack?
And beverage.
And beverage on Disney property. What is it going to be this week, Derek?
Well, I would say since we're into the resorts, what is your favorite resort? Well, I've already said mine. Mine's Coronado Springs, so that was easy for me.
Mine's going to have to be Bay Lake Towers. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, we had a view of Magic Kingdom, and I mean, it's just hard. Now, as far as my family goes, I really enjoyed Caribbean Beach. It was a neat place to stay, and like I said, I enjoyed the setting.
You know, Wilderness Lodge is probably, it's got a soft spot in my heart. That was the first place that Sissy and I stayed. The Wilderness Lodge, it's superbly themed to the Pacific Northwest. Great dining. It does totally transport you to somewhere else, and you don't feel like you're in the midst of everything. But you know, there's a little boat ride, and right around the corner there's Magic Kingdom. Wilderness Lodge, love it.
Our next episode, I know what we'll start with.
What's that?
DVC points. We didn't cover that here.
We didn't even talk about DVC rental points.
We mentioned it, but we haven't gotten there, so we can begin the next episode with that.
We'll touch on that
what
as we begin.
What is DVC and points?
And how do you – there are affordable options. As we talked about, there's affordable options to fly. There's affordable options to potentially get stay in some of these deluxe accommodations. We thank you again for listening to the Grim Grinning Guys. This has been Carousel of Process. Welcome home. Where will your home be on your next Walt Disney World vacation? Thank you again, as always, for joining us. We appreciate all the support we're getting on social media and in other venues. And as always, be sure to...
beware the hitchhiking ghost.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Where's your chair at?
Lapdar.